Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Niamh Hayes. This is a podcast all about health and wellness, where I'll be sharing information and tips and hearing from people who have their own health and wellness story to tell. On this week's episode, I am joined by Niamh McDonald, who is a life coach. We chat all about the work of a life coach, what she offers clients, and then we delve into the world of manifesting. And she breaks it down into really simple information and tips so that you can start implementing it into your own life. Niamh McDonald, thank you so much for joining me on the Anchor Wellness Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
So we met, it was probably a couple of months ago now, at an event in Cork. It was with Pat Dively, and it was so cool the way we kind of connected that day. And I was thinking about it that I just from following you online that I'd love you to share kind of your story and the work you do with clients. So can you start by telling us who you are and a little bit of background about you?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Niamh McDonald, and when you ask that question, like, it's like, who are you? And then you start thinking of like what defines you, nearly like, what do I do, whatever. And I suppose if I break it down into like what I do in terms of work, I'll start with that one. So I'm a life coach. I've also studied NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And I've also done like meditation courses and mindfulness. So for a couple of years, I was kind of in this imposter syndrome where I was like studying all this stuff and going to every course, like literally the opening of an envelope, I'd be there. And then I was like, so Niamh, you got to do something with this now. You're like learning all this stuff and you're reading up and everything. Again, though, that imposter syndrome of like, what people think. So COVID for me actually was really good. And I'm very conscious and mindful of saying that because I know a lot of people struggled during COVID. But for me, I know people also benefited from it as well in terms of work. But for me, with my work, it really, it kind of came to a pinnacle point where I was like, okay, this is it now. You're going to start putting all this into practice. Everything now is done online anyway. And, you know, everyone's on Zoom and meetings and stuff. So why not just hop on and start doing videos? So that's kind of where my Instagram page took off from. And then I just like it just naturally like flowed for me. And then before I knew it, my following was growing and growing. And then I was like, there's something here. People were contacting me and saying, can I book sessions? And I was like, so that's where that started from in terms of my work in and where I am today with it. And like in terms of who I am as a person, like I'm a single mom to a 16-year-old boy called Owen, who I absolutely adore. And I'm in my mid-40s. So I suppose it took me a while to get here. I spent a lot of my 20s and teenage years in kind of self-doubt, anxiety, would have been a complete people pleaser, just wanted people to like me. And would have put on a really smiley face all the time. And now that was a part of me as well, that, you know, that bubbly part, but it was masking a lot as well. So then I just was kind of like, had enough of, I just wanted to make changes. And that's kind of where I am at the moment. I'm on this journey of just making changes. And I just want to share that so much with people.
I think that's so good in terms of when you go through things yourself, when you go through experiences and then sharing that with others. I think that's so powerful, rather than kind of trying to teach people things that you've never been through yourself. There's just something so powerful about that.
Definitely, yeah. You learn through experience. I think you can do every course going, which I was doing, but it's life experiences. And you know, do you ever get that, Neo, sometimes where you kind of just think, I'm just tired of feeling this way. Like there has to be another way to live. Like there has to be something more to life. I kind of always knew that from a very young age. I always felt different in myself. I always thought there was something more or something else. And it probably got me to my late 30s, into my 40s before I started to like delve into that a lot more. And that, I think that's what kind of comes out in my videos and Instagram. It's just this kind of innate essence within me that just, I just let go and it just flows. It just, these words just come to me, these experiences and talking about it. But yeah, you're so true. It's the lived experiences. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, and just talk about your social media there, so you can give it a plug there in a second. Just you can give us your tag name. But yeah, like, you're so consistent and so showing up all the time and just constantly sharing your experiences, I suppose. And like, it's very obvious why then people are following you and taking that information, because it's so valuable.
Yeah, I think people, do you know what I think it really is, Valnie, of, is that I think people buy from people that they like and buy from people that they trust. So you can't kind of hide that fakeness, I think, you know, if you were doing it for, like, I do it for the love of it. Now, I'm not talking about anyone else, I'm talking about my own experience, but I just do it for the love of it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to share this today and I'm going to hop on Instagram and do this video. And I'm like, oh, I want people to get something from this now. Just, so you just, people, I think, buy from what, as I said, yeah, what they like, what they're seeing. And they need that trust, that likability trust as well. So that's probably why it that consistency is attracting people in more and more as well.
I love that. Like, it's just such an authentic way to show up online, which is really good, rather than having everything, you know, structured and planned out sometimes. Yeah, that's really cool. So tell me, so you're working as a life coach now. So what does that, like, say, for instance, I was to book a session with you, what is it that you offer your clients?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's an array of kind of things that I offer, but the main crux of it is that after a couple of sessions with me, I guarantee that they will walk away with tools and techniques that equip them to, like, have more confidence in themselves, to live with more ease. I get them, a lot of stuff I do is around the mindset, so challenging their thoughts, because we, like, science says that we think 65,000 plus thoughts in a day, and a lot of those thoughts are recycled thoughts that we're believing over and over, because they're very conditioned thoughts. They're not even probably our thoughts, they're our parents' thoughts and their parents and on and on. So it's like, I really get them to challenge their thinking and just, like, start to change the neural pathways in the mind. So the circuits are firing and wiring all the time, just start to change, so they can, you know, like, a lot of clients would say, oh, I didn't think of it that way. I didn't think I could do that. That's the kind of thing, like, I suppose with coaching, different to counseling, coaching is that the client is creative, resourceful and whole, and they have the answers. They are the expert in themselves. I don't claim to be an expert in any way in anyone. But what I do is I offer them that tools and techniques so they think in a different way. And then they go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And then I suppose the accountability piece, that they're coming back each week and they're kind of like trying out, being playful with trying out different things. And then it seems to work for them. And then you see, again, the subconscious mind, which I absolutely love, and I do a lot of that in the coaching sessions, is teaching them as well through repetition and consistency, how you can change your narrative, change your story, change the way that you're looking at things. And when we plant that into the conscious mind, it seeps into that unconscious or subconscious part of us. And then the wheels in motion start, like synchronicities, people and events show up. So there's a lot of that kind of work as well that I do. But the mindset is a big, big thing. Just getting them to change the way they're looking at things or thinking about things. Obviously, they're not working for them. If they're working for them, perfect. I do a lot of around inner child work. So I've studied a little bit of counseling and psychotherapy. So I do inner child work, where our beliefs are formed, like where we pick them up. Are they true? Are they working for us today? I do a lot around values, what your values. Then that leads on to your boundaries. I do a lot of mindfulness. Again, science shows that it slows down the brain waves, and it just gives us more clarity and scope to make better choices and think better. And meditations and visualizations. There's actually a load of things, but that's the main kind of, it also depends on what the client is looking for and what they come with. Like, I wouldn't go and do inner child work if somebody was just talking about, you know, work and how they're, you know, and they want to build confidence. Yeah. I might do something else with them, you know, so it's very reliant on the client.
That's brilliant. And I think it's so cool that you've so many different kind of strings to your bow, or different modalities that you've studied, and you're kind of bringing them all together to suit the client. That's such a cool way to work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's just, again, it's just really back to, I remember when I did the business and life coaching course back in 2016, And it was my first taste really into life coaching. I loved it. I loved how coaching is very proactive. It's very in the present moment. Okay, so this is how I'm feeling right now. Okay, what are we going to do about it? Let's get into it. What do you need to do? And I work alongside with them in challenging them and getting them to come up with other ideas or solutions. Think outside the box, and that's where coaching is just so proactive. Yeah, it's great. I love it. I just love it. It just gives the client so much tools so they make the decisions without them relying on you to make decisions. They're doing it themselves.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And like you probably see it in a lot of your clients, but like so many people, and it breaks my heart that so many people out there are just living on autopilot. And you mentioned there the unconscious mind, and you know, all those old beliefs and thoughts are just running the show. And because they just don't have that level of self-awareness, and they're not really thinking consciously, we'll say, that it's just ruling their life, and they're running on autopilot and not really getting where they want to go. And it's awful, isn't it, when so many people are living like that?
Yeah. And like even autopilot, the word auto, like it's automatic. If you think of it, it's we do it without thinking, and it's part of being human as well, because we can be very reactive human beings. Something that I do work on as well with clients is kind of changing that reactive state to the more proactive, responsive state. Mm-hmm. So it's finding ways that like they can, I think it's Viktor Frankl has that great quote where it's like between the stimulus and response is the space. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. So Yes. It's like the space to choose to think something different, you know, and if we can find that space instead of going into that reactive mode, like it just slows everything down. It gives us more clarity and peace and better decision making as well. So yeah, it's powerful. It is.
And that's a huge part of actually the somatic work that I'm doing at the moment, is creating that space to allow the things to, like, I'm more focused on the body, we'll say, rather than the mindset, but yeah. Giving your body that space to process what it needs to, so that then you can, you know, move forward with conscious living and thinking and all that.
Yeah, that's brilliant, enough, because the body is, you know, is where we hold everything, isn't it? All in the cells of our body. Like, so, you know, working on the mind is brilliant, but yeah, it's the body is so, so important, because they need to be aligned together, don't they, as well? It's, you know, like, I suppose if you're working on your mind, you also need to work on your body and how, you know, what's your emotions and your feelings and what's going on, and being more in tune with that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So Niamh, I wanted to bring you on to chat about the whole world of manifesting. I know it's a subject that you're quite passionate about. So for anyone who has no idea what it is, can you tell us what is manifesting?
Yeah, so there's so many like philosophies or ideologies on manifesting, you know. So again, as I spoke earlier, I just go on my own experience. I just purely go on that. Like, I just see so many synchronicities showing up in my life. And especially since I started doing this inner work on myself, I think the biggest thing with manifesting is we don't attract what we want. We attract who we are. That's a great quote. I actually got it from Wayne Dyer, but I don't know if it's from someone else. But I just love it, because we often think like, oh, I just want this now, and I'll dream about it, and I'll think about it, and I'll visualize it, and it'll just come into my reality. And I used to try that for ages, and I'd be like, it's not coming in, like, what's happening? But it really comes back to, you know, it's the beliefs that you hold about yourself, first of all, and that you're worthy of receiving this abundance in whatever, that's relationships or money or career, whatever it is, that you know that, like, deep down in your core, that you're worthy of this. Because a lot of times we think, why isn't this manifesting into my life? And it can be because there's some deep inner core beliefs, and they might be unconscious, that we think, oh, I'll never get that, I'm not good enough for that, or, you know, what'll change, you know, we're nearly afraid of it, what if I get that, how will life change? Or we're very conditioned to stay in the comfort zone of where things are familiar, and stepping outside of that, it's like that saying, you know, don't get too big for your boots. And what will the neighbors think? So sometimes we stay where we are because it's like, so manifesting for me is first of all, is the beliefs, looking at the beliefs that you hold about yourself, and then, you know, that you're worthy of receiving these things. I'll give you the best example recently of manifesting for me, right? So I did Everest Base Camp last year, you know, and I went by myself, but I went out to Nepal by myself in April last year, and I did it with a group out there. So they were like Americans and Canadians. I was the only Irish girl. And so essentially I was kind of on my own, really, you know, like I was like, even though I was with a group. Anyway, for about a year before, I completely visualized that I was going to reach the base of Everest. I was going to reach Everest Base Camp, the base of the mountain. And Everest Base Camp is, just to give you an idea of what it is, like Everest itself is just over 28,000 feet. And Everest Base Camp is 17,500 feet. So it's not a massive difference between the base. You're still climbing for 8 days up and 4 days down. But I completely visualized that I was going to reach that rock on Everest Base Camp. Mm. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I just knew. When I say I don't know how, I mean, obviously you climb up the mountain. What I mean is, like, I didn't know how hard it was going to be. I really knew it was going to be hard, but I didn't know until I got there. And it is extremely, really, anyone that's done it, it's extremely tough. But anyway, I visualized it. And for when I arrived out in Nepal, I was like, oh my God, I already manifested this in. I felt like I could, I already had, because I visualized it so much, I watched so much videos on it, I, you know, talked about it, read books on it. But the most important thing about the manifesting part of it is that I felt it. I felt it already done it. So when I got out to the Himalayas and I was making my way up to base camp, it was like, I've done this already. If that makes sense, in my mind, I'd already knew that I had achieved. So when I got there and I was hit with altitude sickness the last couple of days. So my appetite was completely gone. So I was fairly weak and they were really tough days climbing up. And I just knew I was going to get to Everest Base Camp. So that probably is the most closest example I can think of how I manifested in something that I just had in my mind. And then it came into my reality. So the steps with manifestation is believing that you already have it, even though you can't see it yet. So I believed so much I'm going to get to Everest. It's also, it's the feeling that drives, it's the feelings that drive everything as well. You know, you might have heard about the book, like The Secret, and it's all about, you know, just imagine you have it and think about it and it'll come into reality. But it's the feelings behind it that really, really drive it. So if there's anyone listening that's so passionate or want something in their life, like, there are steps like that to manifesting. It's believing it in yourself, it's know that you're worthy, visualizing it, feeling that you already have it. And the most important one as well is letting go of the outcome of how it's going to transpire into your reality. Because when we go to the house, that's when we start to interfere. It's like if you go out and plant some flowers in the garden, you don't come along a day or two later and start moving it around at the dirt and go, why hasn't it grown yet? Why you just wait for it naturally to bloom like a flower does. It's the same with your manifesting. If there's something that you really want to do and you plant it deep into your unconscious mind, then let the natural flow of things come into your reality. But the thing as well is not to force it, not to, like, just to let it naturally unfold. That would be my take on manifesting.
But so, do you think it's important to actually take action steps towards it as well?
Yes. I was actually going to say that and it went through my head. Then I was like, you're actually manifesting that in, because I was just thinking that. But yeah, inspired action is what I call it. So, like, yeah, you just don't sit there and wait for it. Like, you know, I mean, going back to the example of Everest, obviously, I took inspired action. I remember the first time I went up a mountain, right? I've been up a mountain since I was about 16. So, like, when I was in transition year or something. Never climbed a mountain, never really went hiking. So I decided to go off one day and I was like, I joined a walking hike or a hiking group, and they were going up the Knockmill Downs and the Sugarloaf all in the one day. And I literally collapsed after the two, because I'd never done anything like it. And I got back into my car and I remember crying because I was thinking, Niamh, you're such a muppet. Like, why do you think you're going to go to Everest Base Camp? You can't even climb a mountain here in Ireland. Forget about it. The next day I woke up and I was like, so this is where the interference was happening. I was like, it's not going to happen. I'll forget about it. Forget about Everest. I got up the next day, or maybe a day or two later, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, so that didn't work. What's next? And then I was like, you just need to keep on going climbing mountains. Just get fit. Like, it sounds so simple, I know, but like, I was like, you just need to, I joined a gym, I joined fitness classes, I joined online classes, I went hiking up mountains with 3 or 4 different walking groups. So you have to take inspired action. Don't sit at home and just wait for it to come. But it's also inspired, like the word inspired means it's inspiration. Like, you know, you know your gut feeling will tell you when something is right.
Mm-hmm.
And follow that.
Okay, that's really good, because I think you had mentioned the secret there. That's very much about kind of deciding what you want, throwing it out to the universe, and again, not having the doubts. But it's a little bit of, they're not big on the action part, I don't think, in the secret, from what I remember of it. Whereas, like, it's not just about throwing it out there and waiting for it to happen. You actually have to go and do the things that will, I guess, prepare you for it. So like, you were going to a gym, you were doing your hikes. So it's not as if you're just sitting back and being like, no, I'm just going to be magically fit by the time I go to climb Everest Base Camp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, anyone listening doesn't have to go climb a mountain to reach their goals. That was my one for me. Do you know what I mean? And it's probably been one of the biggest goals of my life so far.
Mm.
But like, someone else could just want to manifest in a relationship or manifest in, that's a good one, I suppose, relationship. Because with relationships, again, go back to that saying, we don't want to manifest. We don't manifest what we want. We manifest who we are. So if you want to attract in your ideal partner, for instance, right, a really good exercise that you can do, I remember hearing this years ago and doing it was brilliant, is writing down the qualities that you would like in that person. So say they're like kindness, generosity, strength, faith, humor, sense of humor, whatever it is, the qualities that you really admire in someone that you want to attract in, and then go away and start embodying those qualities more in yourself. If you don't already have them, really embody them, because again, that's the frequency that you're going to emanate out or emit out, and that's going to attract or draw in those people to you.
Yeah, and like that, then again, you probably have to take action to, you know, put yourself out there to meet people rather than sitting at home waiting for someone to come knocking on your door.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And again, it goes back to that gut instinct, what feels right for you, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, for some people, it's not dating sites, or it might be something else. But it's taking that step when you feel like that inspired action, when you feel like, this feels right for me right now, I'm going to try this, like, to try something different. You see, it's when we take ourselves out of our comfort zone and step into our fears, because a lot of times fears will hold us back, like, oh, what if it doesn't work out, or what if I make a fool of myself, or what if I get rejected? And they're normal fears to have. But when you actually take the action and consistently do that, like, literally the net will appear for you. You know, it'll, like, things will unfold when you have that just unwavering trust and faith that this is going to work out for me. This is going to, along with your inspired action, yeah, taking the steps.
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure, was it The Secret or which, because I've read a good few books about it, but something about, you know, obviously doubts are going to come in and fears mm-hmm. will come in. That's a natural part of life. But as long as you kind of tip the balance and you're more than 50%, trusting that it will happen, that it will happen. And I've experienced that in my own life. I'm not sure, did you ever come across that? I think it was The Secret. You know, because you're obviously going to doubts are going to come in every now and again, and you're going to doubt whether you're going to be able to climb Everest Base Camp or whatever it is that you want to manifest. But as long as you can outweigh those doubts with more confidence in yourself that you're going to get it, that if you literally tip the balance in favor that you will get it, that just helps the process as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's so true, and you're so right, because of course we're humans, and you know, human nature, we're going to have our doubts, and they, you know, there's always going to be that little bit of the critical part on the shoulder, you know, the inner critic that's like really, oh, you know, don't bother trying to meet someone, or what if it doesn't work out, you've been hurt too many times, and I know, because that would have been my narrative very easily, you know, and sure, what's the point, like, you know, like, So yeah, you're so true in what you say. Like, they, it's about overcoming them with, overriding with confidence and getting that balance. You know, I think the biggest turning point for me in terms of manifesting as well was the self-love part. Mm-hmm. And like really starting to like myself. And then I noticed that everything started to flow to me very naturally. It was like when I let down the resistance and I just kind of, this is a whole other thing now again, like which is quite big, but the self-love part and the trusting in yourself and the universe and just really just handing it over as well and trusting that like everything will come to you at the right time in the right way. And there's such importance in that. And I found that, as I said, yeah, a pinnacle in pivoting my life in a different direction, just trusting, loving myself. And it's not something I was able to get to straight away, because like that, when I'd look in the mirror and say like, Niamh, you're amazing, then the doubts would come in. Ah, really? You know, look at you now, you haven't got this and you haven't done that. Really? Are you amazing? But that when I continue to consistently go to the mirror or just say to myself, Niamh, you did really well today. Look at your wins for the day. Look at what you overcame. Look at your achievements. And then when I look at that, those doubts seem to dissipate, because I'm like, yeah. And I think what's important for people to hear as well is that, like, look at the evidence of what you've done well in your life. And that will override those doubts as well. Because if you've done it before, it doesn't have to be the same example but or same experience. But if you've done something in the past where you've overcome your fear, you can do it again.
That's such a great, yeah, way of looking at it. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it all takes practice. It's like I was saying this to a client the other day as well. You know, it's like you go to the gym and you want to tone up or you want to get fit, and you don't go in the first day and just get it. Like, you know, you have to like go back the next day and then the next day, maybe a couple of days, and keep on building on that work, and then eventually start to notice, oh, I feel like I'm getting fitter in myself. I have more energy. Mm-hmm. I feel better in myself. And it's the same with the mind. With, you know, if you want to build some sort of skill like that, it's repetition and consistency. If you start to tell yourself, you know, maybe it's hard to say I love yourself at the start, but you can even say, you know what, I really like you. I really think you're pretty great. Like, you know, if you say that consistently, you'll start to believe it. Even at the start, it's fake or it doesn't seem real. You'll start to believe it. So it's building that muscle all the time. And I think that's powerful in manifesting as well, because if you don't love yourself, if you don't really like who you are, if you don't know your values, know your worth, and know what, you know, gives you that inner ding, then you're going to attract in people who are going to match that.
Mm. Yeah. Tell me about that. You mentioned about the vibration thing. That's a huge part of it. Like, yeah, literally, if you want something or want to be a certain way in life, you have to start acting and behaving in that way to kind of raise your vibrations, don't you?
Completely. Do you know, even when you said about the Pat Dively thing, right? I'm a massive fan of him, right? I've been to loads of his courses. I've been to his sessions in Cork and stuff over the last few years. And now I wouldn't even think he'd even really would have known me, right? Because he's got, what, 81,000, you know, people, and he does this work for years and years. But anyway, about a week or two before he was doing his event in Cork, he contacted me on Instagram. And I used to always think, one day I feel like I'm going to be up on a stage and I think I'm going to be talking with him. And I feel, right, it wasn't a coincidence that he messaged me, he voice messaged me and said, Niamh, would you be interested in coming and helping me on the day? And like, I was, oh my God, you know. And then when I got there, he was like, I was talking about public speaking. I said, you know, I want to do public speaking, which I know I'm going to manifest as well. And he was like, would you like to speak for a couple of minutes before, you know, it's before I start? And I was like, what? Like, I just know I manifested all that in as well. Do you know, like, so many, they're not coincidence, synchronicities are showing up. I think when, and I have to say, it comes back down to valuing and knowing my worth. Yeah. It's really the basic crux of it. It just so is the basic crux of everything, is just knowing who you are, valuing yourself, knowing your worth, doing this work on yourself, because it's constant work. It doesn't, you know, it's not something that you learn and think, oh, I've got that now, because it's a lifelong process. But yeah, manifesting, it's so, like, when you play with it, it's so powerful. And but the frequency, like, I bounced in that door into the hotel where he was doing the course for the day. And obviously my energy and frequency was very high, you know, and everyone I met that morning, I was bubbly, I was myself, I was, you know, friendly and chatting to people. And it's such, I was giving off such a good vibration, hence probably how I met you.
Yeah.
And also why he asked me to come and speak before it started, which I was like, so your energy and your frequency, yes, like what we give out does come back to us. It mightn't come back in the way that we think it comes back, but it will come back.
Yeah, because if you, just to turn that example in on its head, we'll say, so if you, for instance, had said a few months ago that, look, you'd like to get into public speaking, but then you were like, geez, I'll never be any good at it, I'll be terrible at it. And then say, for instance, a Pat happened to ask you to do it and you went in that morning and you were like, oh God, this is going to go terrible. Yeah. I'm not made to do this. And you went up. And of course, what was going to happen? You'd be terrible at it. And that would just reinforce your belief that, oh, I'm terrible at it, I should never do it. Whereas you matched what you wanted to achieve and you did it, because I was there and you absolutely smashed it. So it's really cool to see it, you know, see it in reverse, see it work in a good way.
Oh, thanks so much. That's lovely to hear. Yeah, it's true. Like I remember when he asked me and straight away my stomach went into, you know, like the somersaults were starting and I was like, he wants me to stand up in front of these people and talk for a couple of minutes. I was like, what? But that would, so there's a doubt you talked about earlier, which did come in. It did come in. I'm not going to lie. I was like, geez, Niamh, like, you know, you could just be at home there asleep in bed this morning. What are you doing inside here? And he's asking you to do public speaking at an event. Oh my God. So doubt did come in. There's a really good example. But within a couple of seconds, I was able to override it and be like, okay, Niamh, here you go. Say yes to these things. Yes, it's, you feel the fear. I did feel the fear. I felt it as I was standing up there as well. But you still go for it. You just still do it. And the feeling that you get afterwards, the feeling I felt walking back down to my seat was like I could have been walking on clouds. Like, you know, I was just in a high, you know. And I don't think you can get that inner, that feeling anywhere else, the feeling that you get inside yourself, not with public speaking now, but with anything that you do. Do you know, when you have that, like when you're really truly being yourself and you're just really loving who you are. And a lot, if people are listening going, but like, how do I love myself? How do I even start? You know, like, I don't even, you know, because it might be a new concept, but like, there's so many people out there that help with this anyway. And I'm sure you help with this, Niamh, through your somatic work as well. You know, that people can find ways to reach out to someone or talk about it, like, or there's tools and techniques that can help people with this. And it's just powerful. I find it life changing.
It is. And again, I think it all comes back to your self-awareness, getting to know yourself better and developing a relationship with yourself. If you don't have that, nothing else will change. I don't think anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is self-awareness. You've hit the nail on the head there, because a lot of the time we can be living on other people's expectations, or how we think other people view us, or how society. I actually did a video on that yesterday around, you know, like, Heath Ledger had this great quote where he said, you know, like, people ask you, you know, what career do you do, or if you're married, or if you own your own house, as if it's like a grocery list. And yes, people don't actually ask you, are you happy? You know, and it's like, it's brilliant, because so often we think in society that I should be doing this now, I should have this. And if we don't measure up, then we feel there's something missing, or there's something wrong, or we're not worthy, or we're not enough in life. But when you truly have that feeling, as I said, inside of yourself, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. When you have that inside of yourself and you choose to think good thoughts about yourself, and you're kind and compassionate to yourself, and you really, as you said, self-awareness, value yourself, like, life just flows. It's just so much more fluid and easy. And obviously there's still challenges, but you deal with them a lot differently than what, say, pre-loving yourself or pre. So it's so possible. If I can do it, anyone can do it. I'm telling you.
And one thing there you mentioned about fear, it's come up a few times there, but you know, you had said how Pat had asked you, coming back to that example, Pat had asked you to do the public speaking. There was a doubt came in, there was a fear came in.
Yeah.
But what was it that made you say, no, I'm doing this? What, like, was it, is it the way you talk to yourself? Is it a self-talk thing? Is it a feel the fear and do it anyway? Can you kind of pinpoint what it is that takes you from, oh God, I'm not sure if I can do this, to, you know what, I'm just going to go for it?
Yeah. Yeah, there was, that's a really, like, there's probably, you've hit accumulation of things there. It probably was, you know, oh God, he just asked me to do this. I'm like, geez, you know, and I suppose then I felt a little bit of imposter syndrome come in, right? Because I was thinking to myself, does he know, like, I'm not as good as him, like, I mean, he's amazing, you know? So that came in, which I know isn't true either, right? Because I am as, we're all as good as we want to be, you know what I mean? We, I mean, comparing ourselves anyway, it just steals our own joy. So that came in first, so the doubt came in, and then it was like, geez, Niamh, like, what are these people going to think? You're nothing compared to like Pat Dively. Now that came in for a second. Now they would have been very like childhood critical thoughts I would have had when I was younger as well. So the minute they came in, or the second they came in, now actually it wouldn't be true to say the second they came in, it probably was afterwards that I did this, but I'll just explain it. I was able to kind of be with those parts that felt, you know, and you're not good enough for this. Like, they're going, what are they going to think about you? You know, you're exposing yourself in front of people here now in a room. But what I was able to do with that was I was able to like say, you know, like, I've got you. Like, the adult core part of me was able to say to that inner child that was feeling that fear, because I, it wasn't Niamh, me, the adult, was feeling the fear. It was her, the younger part of me, if that makes sense. Yeah. She was feeling it because she felt she was going to be thrown out into the lion's den. Oh, Jesus, like. So I was able to say to her, like, and this is what I do in my sessions as well, is a lot around inner child work. I was able to say to her, it's okay, we got this. It's okay, I've got it. We're going to be okay. So that was one thing. But to go back to the when he initially said to me, and I was like, and my stomach started doing those somersaults, I was like, I just said yes. Automatically I said yes, because I knew somewhere deep down within me, this was, I would regret this if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
That it would, that I, here I was given an opportunity. And the other thing as well, I think, is what you were talking about earlier, is the confidence overriding the doubts. I feel because I had that confidence, so there's different parts going on there. I know it's a bit, there's a conundrum here now. There's the part that feels the fear and like, what are people going to think of me? But then there was that very confident part of me was like, you know, you can so do this, like, you can do it. I like, you just can do this. And there's a knowing within me that knew I could do it. But the pinnacle part of it was probably when he just said it, and I just said, yeah, I'll do it. Yes, yes, I'll do it. It was just that initial, I'll do it. Even though I felt the fears, I felt the doubts, I was like, just do it.
Yeah.
That was it. It was just go and do it. Like, it's like that saying, like, feel the fear and do it anyway. It was just like that. I was like, just do it. And that's kind of what I am a lot in my life. Like, sometimes I get those fearful thoughts and I'm like, oh geez, like, Niamh, what are you doing like here now? You know, and then I'd be like going, no, there's a reason why you decide to do this. Just do it, go and do it. And, you know, there's never failure or anything. Even if I stood up there, right, and say I mixed my words up or I said something wrong, you know, just let's say I did, right, that still isn't failure. That's just feedback.
Mm.
So you don't, it's a skill, public speaking. So you don't get it straight away. And just like in anything in life, anything that you start new, you're going to have to like build and build and build. And then your confidence is just like, yeah, can do this. And that's kind of what it was like when he said to me, he was like, the fear.
Yeah.
And then it was like, yes, I'm doing this because I know I can do this. Mm. It was a knowing, I suppose. Yeah,
I think that might be the thing that people need to do, is say yes before you even, your mind can come in and think about it too much.
Yeah, yeah, that you've actually explained it really. That's it. It's just like, if he had said, go away and think about it, I'd probably go, oh my God. Like, I stand in front of a room and talk, and I haven't done this. Like, I know I do public speaking on my phone, but that's different. Yeah. This was in front of a live audience with people sitting, looking at me. And I was like, so yeah, you do, just do it, go for it. Like, feel the fear and literally go and do it. Don't let your mind, because your mind will keep you hostage into, so your mind is very, wants to keep us safe. it has a really good intention. It wants to keep us safe. And a lot of the time, you know, these mechanisms are developed when we're really young to keep us safe. Yeah. You know, it's like if you're in school, for instance, and you stand up and you're reading something and you hear someone laughing. Now, they might be not laughing at you, but you, at a very young age, you could think, must be my reading, must be me speaking out. I'm never going to speak up in front of people again like that. There is one example of a belief that's formed. Now, that's very general belief, but like there's just one belief that can form. So we carry these beliefs with us because we believe them to be true. This is how we operate in the world. So my belief systems now have changed because when Pat said, will you do it? I was like, you know, if that had been 3 years ago, I'd probably been like, no way. But, you know, it's doing this work consistently on yourself and just retraining the mind all the time. There's a great quote by Wayne Dyer as well. And it's, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yeah, I love that one.
I love it. Yeah, it's all in how we see things. We all see things differently. We all perceive things. We've all different conditioning, belief systems. But if your conditioning if your belief systems and thought patterns aren't working, you can change them.
You can. You're not.
And life does. Yeah, exactly. And life does change for you. 100%, it changes.
Yeah. You mentioned there a while ago about the different parts of you. So, you know, you had that inner child who was scared and didn't think they could do the speaking, and then adult Neve, yeah, will say, was like, no, you know, I got this, and even if I fumble or whatever, that I still got that. I think holding those parts, because we're made up of different parts, and I think people, maybe some people don't understand inner child work, but like we think that our child, or like Neve of as 5 years, 5 years old, is left back there in the past, whereas no, she's part of me and she's part of you, and we bring each part of us with us. And there, yeah, was an example in my own life there recently where I was commentating at a event in Italy, and before I went, there was this part of me that was like, you're not good enough, there's going to be people there that you're working with that have so much more experience than you, and there was all these doubts coming in. But so I knew I had that part of me, but then I also had a part of me similar to you now where I had that confidence and I knew I could do a good job. And it's about holding, yeah, space for both of those parts. So it's not trying to shut one of them off. It's holding space for, mm-hmm, both of them so that they can both exist together. And then, yeah, you'll just have a sense of kind of calm, and it will give you that confidence that you need, I think. So not about shoving that part of you away, but holding it and just giving it the love, as you said, you know, nearly holding their hand and kind of bringing them along with you.
Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it? It's like you would to a little child. Yeah. You know, if you, yeah, some little child is feeling lost or disconnected or sad or scared, like you'd bring them along and you'd say, look, it's okay, come on, I've got you, let's do it. It's okay, you're not none to be afraid, I've got this now. You know, I suppose a lot of the time with the inner child work, it's, you know, it's not if something is lacking in our childhood from parents or school or anything like that we didn't feel that safety or security, yeah, that it's looking for that today. And the best person that can give that to you is yourself, is you as the adult, and say, so it's like reparenting the child again and saying, you know, yeah, look, I've got you, come on. And not saying, oh, why, you know, there's a great one as well where I always say to people as well, is like, you know, who's steering the ship, mm-hmm, or who's driving the bus? Because sometimes if you think of, you know, if it's the younger child, it's going to be erratic, isn't it? Parts of it, not all parts, but parts are going to be like, I'm scared, oh my god, what's going to happen, I don't know, it's the threats in the outside world, and they might even be big threats. Whereas when the adult you can come along and say, hey, I've got this, you sit down next to me, don't worry, everything's going to be fine, I've got you, like, it just calms down that nervous system in that fight or flight, and just everything just calms.
Yeah, I love that, actually, the bus analogy, that's really good.
Yeah, it's like you've got, again, that's what you were going back to earlier, Neve, about the self-awareness. You've got to like step in and go, okay, so self-awareness here, you know, maybe right now I can feel I'm not being in my adult self, maybe my younger part of me is acting out, because a lot of our belief systems were formed when we were children, and how we see the world and how we operate and what we think. So then it's just a case of kind of like, well, now, is it the younger part of me that's acting out right now that's feeling that? Can I maybe step in here and give her a little bit of comfort mm-hmm. and, you know, soothe her and just say, do you know what? Like, it's okay. We'll figure this out even. We'll figure it out together. You're not alone.
Isn't self-sabotage is really about that? Because you're letting kind of that older part of you, which isn't really functional for what you want to do today, like you're letting that kind of take over rather than the you of today who wants to make the change. It's kind of the basis for self-sabotage, isn't it, in a way, that you're letting that part of you take over.
Yeah, and it goes back to a word that you used earlier, Niamh, with automatic or autopilot.
Mm.
Do you know that we, and again, if we can mirror that within with or marry that in with self-awareness. Okay, so I know you were saying about the somatic work, you know, being able to like place your hand. Like, for instance, for me, if I feel fear, if I feel shame or something or not good enough, it's usually in my tummy area. I feel it. It's like a hollow yeah. feeling. If I could wake up in the morning, and it's just that like hollow feeling is the best way to describe it. And when I feel that, instead of trying to like, yeah, avoid it or push it away or, you know, kind of like be cross with her or say, you know, you're sabotaging me now, like stop it, you know, like instead to just go, okay, so right now I just feel this feeling here. Okay, so I'm just going to become curious about this, because mm-hmm. curiosity, I find, is phenomenal in increasing or elevating that self-awareness, so you can come up with something, you know, like, so what is it right now that I'm feeling? Okay, so maybe I'm just thinking about something from yesterday or today, or okay, so is this maybe a younger part of me that's feeling a little bit insecure or threatened right now? Okay, what does she need? Maybe she just needs to some comforting words. Maybe I can just like breathe into this right now. Maybe I can listen to some music, get up, go, whatever it is that I can just soothe her, so she's not feeling in that, and before she gets into that self-sabotaging phase.
Yeah, brilliant. Niamh, you have a workshop coming up, don't you, all about this manifesting?
Yeah, I do. I have with a lovely lady, Anne-Marie Murray is her name, and she actually approached me recently and asked me, would I be interested? She's to do it with her. So again, I was like, yes, yes, yes. Here is manifesting, because I remember a couple of months ago, I was saying to myself, I'd love to do more kind of workshops with people and podcasts and stuff. And they've been really happening lately for me. So yeah. So she contacted me anyway, and it's a two-day workshop. So it's 2 hours. It's not 2 hours. It's 1 hour for the first one, like 1.5, and then 1 hour for the second one. So it's on the 13th and the 20th of July at 8:00 online. So it's like, say, €30 for one session, one workshop, and then it's 50 for the two workshops. And so that's gonna be all around the manifesting. And again, I'm gonna be doing a lot of work around the self-worth and the self-love and the believing in yourself, and, you know, how that marries in with manifesting, and that kind of subconscious mind, and how, you know, what we plan to that subconscious mind with repetition and consistency. And I've also studied recently open heart meditation, which is absolutely powerful. So I'm going to bring some of that into the sessions as well, which is around, again, that kindness and compassion into that heart center, and connecting kind of more with that true source that we all have within us. And then Anne-Marie is doing a lot around the kind of our attachment styles, and how the nervous system, how we are in relationships, and how to kind of work through that. So there's going to be so much in it. There's going to be so much content and quality content in the two sessions. They're only like an hour and a half and an hour. So it's a really good value for time as well.
And if people are interested in doing that or getting in contact with you about working with you, how should they get in touch?
So if they're interested in the two workshops, they can just get in touch with me. So it's all on my Instagram page. So it's Niamh MacDonald Life Coaching is the name of the page. And so they can see the details on that there about the workshop and the also Anne-Marie Murray is the other girl. If they want to check out her page as well, I know she's got links in there as well. That's aligned with Anne-Marie. And in terms of getting in touch with me for sessions, again, there's actually a Calendly with links in it now set up, so you can just book a 10-minute free consultation call or discovery call, and you can discuss if you want to work with me, and then we can book sessions from there. So very, very simple. Or they can just DM me if they have any questions either way.
Great, brilliant. And I finish the podcast always by asking my guests about your own anchors in life. So you've talked a lot about how you help other people, but how do you help yourself to kind of stay on top of your own health and well-being? Do you have any kind of tools or strategies that you always turn to?
Yeah, I have a good few actually. I would have to say number one is outdoors, nature for me. I just have to say that. I only got into it in the last, again, as I was saying, COVID really worked well for me. It's when I started hiking and getting out in the mountains. I had no interest in before that, but now I find my mental health is so much better when I just get out and go for a walk. Even if it's only like 20 minutes, half an hour, just I feel the difference in myself. My thoughts are clearer. I feel better in my body. I feel happier in myself when I just get out. I would also say I do a lot of mindfulness and meditation. So I might listen to some Spotify and listen to some, I might just Google, you know, say meditations for ease or manifestations for peace or something. I might listen, whatever I'm feeling in the moment, I listen to that. That also gives me a lot of kind of ease or just slows it down for me. And I think as well, do you know what, Neo? I think I just be kind of kinder to myself. If I'm in a situation where someone is triggering me, right, and I feel really challenged, I'll go and find the nearest mirror that I can, when I can, and I'll go in there. And do you know what I do? I put my arms around myself and I give myself a hug. And I just say, it's all right, Neo, this will pass. This too shall pass. This will work out. Everything always works out. Just trust, let go. So I talk a lot more kindly to myself, and I just trust that it will just pass. All our emotions are impermanable. Nothing is permanent. They pass. So just like clouds, just let our thoughts come and go. And I'm just really there for myself. I just be kind to myself. I'll finish on this one now, but I also drop my expectations. Before, I used to be the type of person that I run to someone to help me. Like, tell me what I need to do. Tell me what, like, help me, help me, help me, you know? Very kind of that kind of chronic kind of help me, you know, and fearful kind of state. Whereas now I'm like, now I talk to myself. I just really trust myself. I talk to myself and I'm like, okay, Neo, let's figure this out right now. What are you going to do? Come on, we'll figure this out. And then I just trust in that. So that's probably one of the main mindset technique tools that I use for myself.
Brilliant. I love that it's all like very much self-love, self-soothing, really just calming the body and the mind. I love that. That's my jam. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, it is. I love it too. And like, as I said, if I can do this, you know, anyone can do this. Because I used to have that sense of love for myself. You know, I used to think I'm a nice person and yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm a good person in the world. But I'm talking about a real deep inner love and appreciation for myself. That's a different level altogether. And, you know, anyone can have that when they do the work on themselves. So possible.
Amazing. Neo, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you too. It's been so lovely talking with you, Neo. I've so enjoyed this podcast. Thank you.
And amazing. Best of luck with everything with the workshop and with all your work going forward.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been lovely chatting with you.
Thank you for listening to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I hope you got something out of listening to the chat today. Until next time, keep striving to be healthy.